Welcome to this podcast of sermons from University Christian Church, Disciples of Christ in Fort Worth, Texas. UCC is a community of faith where all are welcome, where we worship in a spirit of togetherness, where we embrace curiosity, community, and compassion. We don't claim to have all the answers, nor do we expect you to check your brain at the door, but rather we gather together to find the courage to engage the scriptures and to ask the big questions about who we are as people of faith, and who God is calling us to be. At UCC, we seek the sacred, commit to love, and empower to serve. And in so doing, we work together to transform the world through Christ's courageous love. My name is Reverend Dr. Russ Peterman, and I'm the senior minister here at UCC, and so most of these sermons are from me.
Lead us, Lord, not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Heard a story not too long ago about four friends. They were all a part of the same Sunday school at their church. They decided to go away to help each other in their faith, to spend a couple of days on a spiritual retreat. They took some time in the morning to sort of confess some of their sins to each other, to encourage each other, to help hold each other accountable. They started with the question, what is it that you are struggling with these days? One of the gentlemen says, you know, I'll go first. For me, it's lust. In fact, the only reason that I subscribe to Sports Illustrated is just for the swimsuit issue. Another person says, you know, for me, it's gambling. Doesn't matter if it's horses or college football, I'll bet on anything, anytime. Another person confided, for me, it's drinking. I find myself wanting to drink in moments when I don't necessarily need to drink. I just want to. The fourth guy was over in the corner on his phone. Finally, they said, what about you? He said, for me, it's gossip, and I have been on social media for the last 5 minutes sharing all your sins. Told you, they didn't laugh at 9 o'clock. They did not laugh at 9 o'clock. My mom, though, was watching online at 9 o'clock. She says, Russ, I laughed. I don't know why they didn't laugh. I thought that was a good story. The truth is, we are all tempted all the time. It's part of the human condition, which is why Jesus said, when you are praying, you should say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. As we've been talking about the last few weeks, this prayer is meant not to be something that we recite together once a week in church. It's meant to be a part of the rhythm of our lives. Martin Luther, the great Reformation theologian, he prayed different portions of the Lord's Prayer throughout different times of the day. When he would sit down to eat, he would say, give me this day the bread that we need to survive, our daily bread. Before he lay down at bed, he would say, forgive me of my trespasses. God, there are all sorts of ways that I've fallen short today. Forgive me. But the prayer that he would pray each morning as he got out of bed, lead me not into temptation, but God, lead me in the ways of righteousness. This is the rhythm of the Christian life. We're all tempted. It's that lure that we fear or feel. It's internal. There is this hunger, there is this longing, and sometimes that's longing to do something that we know is wrong, and sometimes that is this longing, this lure to do something that we don't want to do. Sometimes the temptation isn't something that's morally wrong, but just something that we are choosing not to do. Example, when I first got here and started as your senior minister about a year and a half ago, within the first 6 months, I put on 15 pounds in this role. I blame Tex-Mex, hands down. It was chips and, you know what it was? It was queso. Queso was my Achilles heel. I knew that it was time that I get serious about this when my children came to me and says, Dad, it looks like you've put on the freshman 15. I knew it was time to do something about it. It was time to lose weight. But let me tell you what I experienced, and maybe some of you have had the same thing. When you're trying to eat healthy, all of a sudden you have this hunger for things that you're not necessarily, that you've never been hungry for before. How many people know exactly what that's like? These things, they look better, they sound better when we're not supposed to eat them. It's not a choice. It's a choice that you're making not to do that. It's not a sin. Queso is not evil. In fact, I said recently, if they don't have queso in heaven, I'm not going. I'm not, just not going. But what happens is when this rule is put up before us, it may not have anything to do with sin or evil, but suddenly we want the thing that we're not supposed to have. That thing that we've chosen not to have, it's the same thing. Let me give you another example of this. How fast do you drive? How fast do you drive when the sign says that the speed limit is 55? Go ahead and tell me. 65. And some of you who said 55, just remember, speeding is not a sin, lying is. 65 to 20%, about 10 fast. But let me ask you this, when the sign says 65, how fast do you drive? 75, right around there, right? There's always this longing to go just a little bit faster than the sign says. I want to get there a little bit faster, just to do what we're not supposed to do. It's this human nature. And sometimes the temptation is to violate the rule that we set for ourselves, and it's not a big deal. But sometimes that longing, that hunger, that lure is leading us towards something dangerous, painful. I know of a pastor in our congregation who recently was forced to leave the ministry. It started with just a look, and then it was a fixation. And then it was just an embrace, and then a kiss. And then it led to an affair. And the wife found out, the church found out. He lost his standing, and he was forced to leave the ministry. And all of the hopes that he had, all of the dreams that he had were gone. All of the hopes and the dreams that God had for him, they were gone. Because he took one step, and then another, and then another, following his desire for something that he wasn't supposed to have. Sometimes our temptations lead us to very painful places. In James' text that you heard just a minute ago, he says, everyone is tempted by our own cravings, by our own desires. They're lured, we're enticed by them. Notice that he said, everybody does. And I would argue that if you're not feeling tempted by those cravings, you're either not aware or not paying attention, which may be even more dangerous because you've stopped even noticing those temptations and those desires. And then James uses that powerful metaphor of conception. When that desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And that sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. We all know how that works, don't we? There's this idea that comes to our mind, and in that moment, we say either yes or we say no. But I wonder if maybe the most dangerous is the maybe. Because if it's maybe, we just sort of entertain it for just a minute. Just going to let it linger in our minds for just a moment. Walter Wangeren, a Lutheran pastor, talks about the moment of the maybe. We play with this idea for just a while, maybe, but the longer that we play with it, right, the more it has an opportunity to conceive. And once it's conceived in our mind, the next step is to take action. And then we step across the line and do the thing that we knew we weren't supposed to do. That idea, that temptation is conceived in our mind, and it gives birth to sin. Now, the word for sin in Greek is hamartia. It's an archer's term. Shooting an arrow, when shooting the arrow, if you miss your mark, that's the same word. It means when we sin, we stray, we miss the mark. And that sin leads to death. Maybe not leads to a physical death. Certainly some things do. But oftentimes, just as dangerously, it can lead to a death of a relationship. Death of dreams. Death of hope. You know, it's interesting to me that the Bible begins with a story of temptation. In fact, some say that the entire biblical story could be told in talking about temptations. But there it is in the second chapter of the first book of the Bible. We're told that human beings are tempted to do things they're not supposed to do. Adam and Eve, the very first humans, they're given everything that they could possibly want to eat and to drink. God says, "This is all for you. It's a sign of my love for you. There's just one thing that I don't want you to have." And like the speed limit sign, like queso, that thing that they're told that they can't have becomes the one thing that they desperately want. And there they are in the garden, paradise, in this serpent. The serpent slides up next to him and says, "Did God really tell you not to eat that?" It's interesting how the Bible describes the serpent. The serpent was more crafty, Genesis says, than any of the other wild animals the Lord made. The word there is aram in Hebrew. It means cunning, subtle, capable of persuading. And we all know what that looks like, right? We all know what that sounds like. I can honestly say I've never seen a talking snake. And I'm fairly certain that if I ever saw one, I would be able to say no in that moment. But what we have a hard time saying no to is that voice, that cunning little voice in our head that whispers, "Wouldn't this be great? It would be so awesome if you just said this or did that." That voice, that cunning voice, whispers and begins to persuade. And suddenly there's this rationalization process that happens. We all know how that goes. And suddenly we can come up with a multitude of reasons why we should do the thing that we know we shouldn't. I can have the queso. I went for a run this morning. And these are good reasons. But the longer that we play with that voice, the more rational it seems. And pretty soon we no longer think about the consequences. We're thinking about the moment. My guess is that if you've ever made a catastrophic decision, my assumption is that in that process, you weren't thinking much about how it was going to end up. You weren't thinking about the consequences. You were thinking in that moment, wouldn't it be awesome? Wouldn't it be great if just for this moment? You know, in the Gospels, we see the story where Jesus is tempted. It's at the very beginning of his ministry. He spends 40 days and 40 nights. He's fasting. He's praying. He's away from his friends, his family. And suddenly he hears that voice. It's not a serpent, but we're told it's the voice of evil. And notice how the voice shows up, right? It's not a talking snake. It's not somebody with a pitchfork and red spandex tights. No. That would be too easy. That'd be too clear-cut. No, he hears a voice. Maybe it's a cunning whisper. He's hungry. So all you have to do is just turn these stones into bread. Just jump. The angels will catch you. And think of all the people. Think of all the people that will come to believe in your strength. All you need to do is just turn away from the path that you were on. Just follow my path. My path is filled with wealth and power. The path that you're on, Jesus, that one leads towards suffering and death and even death on its cross. Come this way. Come this way. That's how it worked for Jesus. And that's how it works for us too. And that's why Jesus taught us to pray in this way. Some of you have seen the story that came out in the last couple of weeks. It's a fairly important story in Christian world. The Pope approved some changes to the Lord's Prayer. Have some of you seen these? If not, you can Google it. It's there. It's an important story in the Christian world. Now, the only thing that I can assume is that the Pope heard about this sermon series that I was doing. Wanted to upstage me a little bit, and so he decided in that moment, apparently he was threatened by me, but not sure I can only survive. But basically, he approved some changes to the Lord's Prayer, the portion that we're talking about today, lead us not into temptation. He says that portrays God in a false light. He says this, the Pope says this, God does not lead us into temptation. It's not a good translation, he says, because it speaks of a God who induces temptation. And so now in the Catholic Church, in many places around the world, they pray, do not let us fall into temptation. Now, I love that translation, but I have to wonder, how many committee meetings did he have to sit through to get this approved? But you can see the difference, right? Do not lead us into temptation. Do not let us fall into temptation. You heard what James said a minute ago. No one who is tested and tempted in Greek, it's the same word. No one who is tempted should say, God is tempting me. God doesn't tempt us, doesn't test us in that way. On Friday, here in the sanctuary, we had a memorial service for Corky Friedman, a remarkable woman. And in that service, we read from Psalm 23. And I shared these words with the congregation that was gathered on that day. Lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake, O God. That's what God does. God doesn't lead us into temptation. God leads us in paths of righteousness, wholeness. It's important to remember that in the original Greek, there was no punctuation. There were no commas. All of the words just sort of ran together. In fact, you didn't know there were no spaces between the words. There were just all, and so part of interpretation is figuring out where the spaces were, what the punctuation is. One interpreter said long ago, make sure the comma is in the right space. Adam Hamilton, who pastors the largest United Methodist church in the United States, is in just outside of Kansas City. In their church, they inserted a comma. And so when they pray, lead us, comma, not into temptation. I love that. I love that. Lead us, God, not into temptation, which is the path that I would lead myself if ultimately it were up to me. Lead me not on the path that I want, God, but on the path that you want. You see, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are asking God to lead us away from the things that we wrestle with. Things like anger and bigotry and hate and bitterness and indifference and gossip. Lead us away from things like drugs and excess and porn and power. We recognize, God, that you have a better way for us. And so we pray, lead me in the right path. Because, God, you know how I struggle, and so I'm praying in this moment that you will help me be the person that you want me to be, not the person that I might be if I'm paying attention to my needs and my desires and not yours. And sometimes, God, I make a mess of things, and I need you to rescue me. I need you to deliver me and to help put my life back together again. You see, we're going to be tempted. It's part of the human condition. It just means we're alive. There's a Native American story about a man trying to teach his grandson about this wrestling that we all go through, this struggle, this internal struggle between right and wrong that exists within each and every one of us, that there are these two voices that are leading us in different paths. And the grandfather says, you know, it's sort of like there are two wolves that live inside of us. There's the good wolf. It's compassionate, kind, and protective. And then there's this other wolf that seeks to destroy, to devour us, that will lead us towards wrong, that will lead us towards evil. And this grandson's trying to wrap his head around all this, and he says, but which one wins? Which one is going to have a hold of my life? And the grandfather says, whichever one you feed, the one you feed. You see, part of what we do here each week is we gather together to feed the good wolf, to invite God to lead us, to invite God to lead me, not into the path that I might lead myself down, but down the path of righteousness. Lead us, God, not into temptation, but deliver us from that which is evil, from that which is painful, from that which is destructive. Lead us. Deliver us. Amen.
So thanks for listening. I do hope and pray that you found this sermon to be engaging and thoughtful and inspiring and maybe even a little challenging. I also hope that if you get the chance to join us on Sunday mornings in our sanctuary, you will. I think you'll find the welcome warm and inviting, the music inspiring, and there will always be a place at the table for you, regardless of who you are, or where you come from, or where you are on your spiritual journey. Just know that you're welcome here. And if you'd like to support the production of this podcast and the ongoing mission and ministry of UCC, or to simply find out more about this community of faith, we invite you to go to universitychristian.org. Grace and peace to you.